celebrated day, when churches are the fullest, is always on Easter. You know when they're the most empty? 4th of July weekend. We've got some people out, but that's okay. But listen to me. When it rained yesterday, it was strictly a result of me praying terror on those people on the lakes. Praying people's boats broke down. And, man, I got to go to church. I ain't take ski today, you know. Can't go. I'm joking. I didn't pray to anybody. But I thought about it when I looked out my window watching that rain. I said, yeah, they're getting by what they deserve. But no, we are. We're missing a generation. And unfortunately, a lot of times we miss it. We do. I'll just put it to you like this. How many of you, as a child, and you can raise your hand if you want to. You don't have to. Just be honest with you. How many of you had an experience with God sometime between, from the time you were born through high school? And you just didn't do a whole lot with it. That was me. See, we've got so many people. Somebody put their phone on mute. I hate that thing. Ding. Ginger's got that on her phone. We'll be trying to have dinner out, and I hear ding. And she, turn the thing up. Put the thing on mute. Anyway, it may be my phone. I don't know. I have to check. Well, I'll tell you what. Serena and Joel were there. They can vouch for this. I was doing a wedding in Arkansas one time, so, you know, it didn't really count. But I'm joking. My wife's from Arkansas, and I tell all these jokes all the time about Arkansas. But anyway, how many sports teams are in Arkansas? Professional teams? None. Anyway, that's why the most famous words in Arkansas are, "Ye pig, suey." I know. That's my point. But anyway, I was doing a wedding in Arkansas, and Ginger had this thing on her phone, and it was, "Jeremiah was a bullfrog, you know, was a good friend of mine." In the middle of the service, her phone goes off. And everybody turns around and looks at her. I said, "That would be my wife." It was the worst. What happened? I missed the funeral. It seemed more like a funeral than a wedding. I messed that wedding up so bad. And then that happened to Ginger. And these people, to this day, they tell everybody about their wedding, how funny that their wedding was. How bad the pastor screwed it up, and then his crazy wife had the. I mean, it's their friend. They're friends of ours, and still, believe it or not, but it was funny. But we are. We've had so many people that have an experience with God, and nothing ever happens. I know it happened. That's the way it was with me. I had several experiences with God, okay? But it wasn't enough of an experience for me to live a life pleasing unto God when adversity came along, when discouragement came along. There wasn't enough there. Now, I'm going to tell you how I got this message. I had a meeting Friday night to go to, and I left, and I thought I had plenty of time. And then as soon as I get past the Dixie and exit, I hear ding. I look down there, 50 miles to empty on my truck. And that's not very far in my truck. My truck never met a gas station it didn't like. I'm telling you. So I go, and I'll get some gas when I get to Bossier, and I have plenty of time. Just before I get to the 220, it says, accident, airline exit, traffic backed up. So I go 220. Ding! 22 miles to empty. Cross Lake, ting, 12 miles to empty. And I go and I get there, and I've got like, I don't know, 10 miles maybe. And I don't trust that thing. My truck lies. It does. It's got a lying spirit in it. It's a lying truck. It'll tell you it's got so many miles, and it really doesn't. It's a demon spirit, lying demon spirit in my truck. And so I get finished, you know, and with my meeting. It was great. Everything was good. And I get back in the truck, and, you know, I wasn't thinking about it while I was in the meeting. I wasn't thinking about my lying truck. I was having fun in the meeting. I had a great meeting. Dr. Mark Barkley was there, and he was telling us, oh, man, this is good stuff. I'm going to preach it and tell you God told me. It was so good. But anyway, so I get my truck, and I turn on the key, and I crank it up. Oh, man. I said, you know, there's really not a place to stop. I was at 70th Street, and I-20, Industrial, which is the other side of the airport. It's really not any place to stop. I mean, it's like 11 o'clock at night, too. I said, I got to get to Bossier. When I got to Airline Drive, I pulled into that little, I think it's the Valero station. 3 miles to empty. I didn't even turn off my truck when I pumped the gas. I mean, I started filling that tank up, but it was like 5 minutes. It was thirsty. It was bad thirsty. And I filled it up to the brim, you know. And I put the thing on there, and I get back in my truck, and without thinking, I look down, and it said 351 miles to empty. And that fast, it went from empty to full. Now, let me ask you this. If I would have just parked that truck next to the gas pump, that's the gas pump, I'm a truck. If I would have just parked next to it, would it have got full? No. It would have just had an experience with the gas pump. It wouldn't have had an encounter with the gas pump. That's church. We got people in church that are brushing up against God, but not having an encounter with God. Now, I'm telling you, I'm sitting there at this Valero, and this thing hits me, and I'm going, this is the simplest thing I've ever preached. Why haven't I thought of this sooner? Well, because I didn't think of it. The Holy Ghost put it in me. What happens is we have an experience with God, and man, everything's good, and then, boy, we have some marital problems, and pew! We don't have enough gas in the tank for those problems that will come, so we fall off the map. You better, let me tell you what, when the doctor says cancer, your tank better be full. Because it's going to be hard to fill it. I'm not speaking cancer on anybody. Let me tell you something. I'm not scared of cancer. Everybody in my family's died of cancer. But not me. I'm not scared of it. Let me tell you something. If you've got a fear of something, what happened to Job? The thing that he feared the most came upon him. You better get that fear out or it's going to get in you. That's just, I don't know who that was for, but it was for somebody. Maybe for me. Yeah. Got it. Got it. But that's what we have to do. The church, we've got to realize that just an experience is not enough. You've got to have an encounter with God, and then you have to have another encounter with God. It's got to be a lifetime of godly encounters in order for you to live an abundant life. You will live defeated and have a lying demon spirit like my truck if you don't get full. Are you following me? That's the message. Go home. Do you want to know the scriptures? I'll just go through it. I'll just go through it if you want to know. All great, I didn't say all men. All great men of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament and living today all faced great adversity. Let's think about Peter, not the smartest guy, right? I'm telling you, as soon as I get to heaven, he's going to bust my chops, man. I'm telling you, he's going to punch me right in the mouth because I preach about this so much. He said more stupid things in the Bible than all other stupid things in the Bible combined. The Mount of Transfiguration, Moses, Elijah, Jesus. What's Peter say? Do you want us to build a shelter for you? No, they're not staying. He gets the greatest revelation of all time. No, you're the Christ. And then Jesus started saying something. And I mean, in less than a few minutes, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. This is the guy that's the rock. He just told him he was the rock. He's going to build his church. And then he says something stupid and Jesus openly rebukes him. He's not the smartest guy. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Are you following me? Let's take these people for what they are and don't call them saint. Let's just learn from when they were stupid. Okay? I mean, I'm not trying to offend anyone. I'm just talking about, especially not Peter. I know I got a day of reckoning coming one day with Peter. And I know he's a little short Jewish guy. I think I can take him. My pastor went to Turkey, and they saw a picture of they said, we don't know, that they had Peter's hand. No, John the Baptist. John the Baptist's hand in gold and part of his head, you know. And he said, they were little people back then, you know. I said, yeah. I said, that's good for me because Peter's going to get a piece of me, and I'm going to be ready. I'll be ready for him. But Peter, you know, Peter said, heard Jesus say, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And what did he do? He denied him three times. So he, in his mind, he was going to hell. There was no way out of it. Right? If Jesus would have personally told you, if you deny me before men, you're going to hell. I'm going to deny that I even knew you before in front of my Father. He's lucky he didn't do what Judas did in those 3 days, or we would have never heard about what he did on the day of Pentecost. Because Judas took the coward's way out and killed himself. Peter stuck through it, and then when Jesus came and he approached those women, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter to meet me. Because Peter didn't consider himself to be a disciple anymore. Are you following me? And then, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was up there, you know, got filled with the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues. If you got a problem with speaking in tongues, you're in the wrong place. But we can fix that. We can deliver you from that. You know, because that's what a lot of today is. But then he stood up and he preached, and over 3,000 people were saved. He went from being the stupid fisherman to the leader of the New Testament church that fast. Just like that. Just like that. Are you listening to me? Why? Because he had experienced Jesus. He'd been brushed up against Jesus, and he'd ate with him, and he'd walked with him, and he'd talked with him. But when adversity came and his rear end was on the line, he said, I don't know that guy. But when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he stood before the same Sanhedrin council and Caiaphas, the guy that put Jesus on the cross, and he said, hey, he's the Christ. He stood with a boldness that no man can have, that can only be given by the Holy Ghost. But he had diversity. He had experiences with Jesus. Are you following me? He had experiences with God. But when he had that encounter with God, things were different, correct? Go with me to the 4th chapter of Luke real quick. Kind of got out of order, but that's okay. Well, let's think about Paul. Paul was not a real good speaker. He preached a guy to death one night. He did. He was preaching and the guy fell asleep, fell off third story and killed him. Paul went down there and raised him from the dead, put him back up there, and preached till daylight. That's in the Bible, bro. Look it up. Look it up. He got in trouble everywhere he went. And then he got thrown in jail, and he had to miracles had to happen for him to come out. It wasn't just one instance. It was constant. He lived a lifestyle of just getting in trouble. Are you following me? But he had power. In Acts, go to that scripture in Acts that I had for you. Yeah. See, listen to me. Now he got saved on the road to Damascus. He confessed Jesus as his Lord on the road to Damascus. And there were scales over his eyes. And for 3 days, he was in a house down on Straight Street in Damascus. Okay? Yeah, down by the Dairy Queen on Straight Street. And he, God sent this man named Ananias. He said, you go over there and I want you to lay hands and pray for this guy. He said, no, I ain't going to pray for that guy. He's the reason I ran to Damascus. I'm one of the guys he's chasing. You know? And he said, no, he's a chosen vessel. Go and pray for him. And so Ananias did. And this was, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother, saw the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road. In other words, the guy that you got saved by on the road named Jesus has sent me so that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can say whatever you want to say. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are two separate things. And do you think that it's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes! Absolutely. Name anybody in the New Testament that wasn't filled that week. Just name one that we talk about. Impossible. Well, you know, we're supposed to use Jesus as our example. Okay, let's do that. Okay? Let's go to Luke 4. First chapter, it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty strong example, wouldn't you say? Well, Jesus was our example, and you know, I don't know him. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, I'm not big on this stuff, but I have to be specific here. In the Greek, the word into, being led into the wilderness, also means in. In other words, yes, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, but he led him while he was in the wilderness as well. And then what happened? The devil came tempting him. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was down. He was discouraged. Jesus didn't get discouraged. My God, Jesus stayed discouraged. Why at the Garden of Gethsemane? Let's think about that. Can't you even pray with me for an hour, guys? Come on. He was so stressed and discouraged that he said that he... Y'all know what happened, don't you? Sweat blood. You think that's not adversity, and you think that's not discouragement, you know? Then and what's funny about the whole thing is he said, one of you is going to deny me. You know, not one person looked at Judas. Not one. What'd they say? Is it me? That was a pretty good wolf that was dressed up like a sheep that had fooled the guys that he traveled with for 3 years. They didn't even suspect him. Is it me, Lord? Is it me? Is it me? Now, how discouraging do you think it was to Jesus that he didn't have one guy that was going to deny him, but he had two. 2 out of 10. A little bit discouraging. So he went into the wilderness. Am I giving you examples of New Testament people? You know, people want, that's the big thing now. I want the New Testament. So okay, I can give it to you anyway. Like the Old Testament doesn't matter? Come on. Absolutely it does. I had a discussion. I had a discussion with a guy the other day, and he said that we'd been delivered from sin. I said, no, we hadn't. Oh, yeah, the Bible says. I said, no, you give me a chapter and verse. I said, but if you find it, it's probably going to be in the second book of ignorance. Because we have not been delivered from sin. If we'd been delivered from sin, we wouldn't sin anymore. We've been delivered from the nature of it. There's a big difference. Now, if I sin, I got the divine nature of God, and that tells me it's wrong. It's called the Holy Spirit. You're not, you know. He said, well, that's the way we, the reason is that we're not supposed to judge because we've been delivered from sin. I said, well, you got kids? Yeah. He said, you got grandkids? He said, yeah. I said, well, why don't you let a child molester babysit your grandkids in? Oh, I wouldn't do that. I said, then you're judging. He said, no, I'm looking at his actions. I said, which are sin? You're judging him. Absolutely, you're judging him. He said, well, I never thought about that. I'm going to have to talk to my father about that. I said, make sure it's the one in heaven. The last priest God ever acknowledged was the great high priest named Jesus. There's nothing wrong with wearing a collar and calling, you know, and being a priest. That's what we are, you know. I'm a pastor. That's in some form of being a priest, you know. But, you know, anyway, I'm not getting into doctrine right now. I got more powerful things to deal with because you need what I got to say right now. Are you following me? There's some of y'all that are wondering if that experience is going to get you through. Or do you need an encounter? All of you need an encounter. The problem is we don't get enough God encounters to get us through to the next place. Oh. Before Jesus was baptized and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, according to Luke 4, verse 1. Not one miracle had he done. Not one. Not one disciple had he chosen. He didn't choose his leaders until the Holy Spirit filled him where he could choose them. Oh, I know this is, boy, you're thinking this guy's anti-Jesus, and, you know, just pro-holy. No, 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 no. Let me ask you this. How many people in here want to get married? I knew Serena's had to be the first one. Eventually, y'all that don't say you want to get married, you're going to want to get married. Eventually. But let me ask you this. If you don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you, there's a pretty good chance you're going to pick the wrong one. If Jesus waited till he was filled with the Holy Spirit before he chose his leaders, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so he can choose your soulmate instead of you choosing it. I'm just saying. That's the way Jesus did it, you know. That's the way I would do it. Unfortunately, that's not the way it happened with me. I just happened to fall in love with a woman that was full of the Holy Ghost, and she saw what I was supposed to be, not what I was. I don't advise that for anybody. It worked out for us. Absolutely, we married 30 years. But it wasn't easy on her. It was easy on me. It wasn't easy on her. I mean, I was not a good person. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's not what I'm trying to do. We have to have guided counselors regularly so that discouragement does not drive us away from God instead of to God. You got to have your tank full. And you got to keep your tank full. I know my dad was a strange guy in some areas. And one of his pet peeves, well, we lived in Castor, you know, as the center of the universe. And unfortunately, the center of the universe is not close to any hospitals. Are you following me? So, if my mom came home and that car wasn't full of gas, my dad hit the roof. What if one of the kids gets sick and we got to go to Shreveport? There's not a gas station between here and Shreveport. We got to have the car full. That was one of his things. And I get thinking about that. You better have a full tank so you can get to where you need help. Are you following? You've got to have a full tank. If you wait till tragedy comes along or discouragement or adversity and you try to fill your tank, it's going to be a lot harder to get full when you're so down. Is it making sense to you? You want to hear more? You want me to shut up? Okay. And I didn't have one shut up. I'm doing great. So what you're telling me, Paul, is that Jesus changed on the day that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. No. I'm telling you that he was empowered. Jesus never changes. The Word never changes. Malachi 3:6, God never changes. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Hebrews tells us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change, but he was empowered. And that's the part that I want you to get. Peter wasn't changed on the day of Pentecost. He was empowered on the day of Pentecost. Paul wasn't changed. He was empowered when Ananias laid his hands on him to receive baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what we've got to be. We've got youth looking for spiritual things. We can spiritually empower them, and they're looking in all the wrong places. My gosh, they got kids joining ISIS. They're so desperate to find something that they can be a part of that's bigger than themselves. They're killing themselves. The church has fallen short when we have a generation that's searching so much. But you know, sometimes they have these experiences with God and they can't deal with the hypocrisy of the people in the churches or in the leadership, so they fall away. Or they can't stand the music, or they can't stand the, you know, I'm not a big fan of our music, but I'm a great fan of our music because it works. I don't care. I hate hymnals, okay? You hear me? I just hate them. I do. I want something that's new and fresh. Behold, I do a new thing. How many times that's said in the Bible? We want something new and fresh. I mean, I want to hear "Just As I Am" 14 times, and the pastor standing there like this in front of the church looking like a hobo before he says, okay, somebody dismiss us. You know, that stuff's just not me. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying it doesn't fit me. And if we don't reach back a generation, we're going to lose a generation because we're stuck in the old things we're doing instead of, behold, doing a new thing. We have the opportunity, the most spiritual generation, an opportunity to reach them. We've got to let them know that an experience with Jesus is not going to last them through their adolescence. It's just not going to happen. It won't. Didn't me. Did you? No. Did you, Jeremy? Nope. Did Ginger, because she had an encounter, multiple encounters. She felt the Holy Ghost by the time she was 14 years old. Well, you don't have to have the Holy Ghost to get to heaven. No, but you do have to have the Holy Ghost to live an abundant life while you're here. It's your choice to live in agony. I mean, it's your choice to not walk in abundance. I was telling Greg earlier today, I said, man, I got something good. He said, what? I said, I'm going to tell him. I said, you know, last week I did the offering. What, last week? And I said, if you're not a tither, I'm not talking to you. You just turn it off. I'm just talking to tithers. That's just the way I am about it. But God's kind of convicted me a little bit on that. And so when I get back, I'm going to start talking to people that don't tithe. I don't know who you are. I don't know who gives what. I set it up that way for a reason. Why? So I can say what I'm saying right now. I don't know. But what I told him was this. I said, we need to talk to non-tithers from the pulpit and let them know don't ask God to cheat for you. because he's not going to do it. If you're not a tither, don't ask for spiritual, financial blessings from God, because then you're asking God to cheat. Because he's got laws he's got to go by because he made them. He's got to go by them as well. If you're not tithing in your local church, you know what? Don't ask God to cheat for you, because he's not going to do it. Just a little out there. If we're talking about abundance, we need to be talking about abundance in everything, and that's one of the things you need some abundance in, is in your finances. You need some, right? Take that and run with it. Go on. Take that and run with it. Go down to the 14th verse of Luke 4. Let's see what happened. This is the part that I like so much. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him went out through all the surrounding regions. Well, let me ask you this. He'd been teaching in synagogues from the time he was 12, according to the word. He'd been teaching all this time, and there wasn't that big a deal about him. But when he came out of the wilderness and he started teaching, then Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit, and news went throughout all the surrounding region. Now he was empowered. He had the Spirit of the Holy Ghost inside of him. Are you following me? And so, therefore, he spoke with more passion. He had an encounter with his Father. If it's important enough for Jesus to be able to speak, is like roughly 30 years old at this time. He'd been teaching from the time he was 12. But the day that he got filled with the Holy Ghost, after that, when he taught, things happened. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus. Well, I've never heard that preached. Well, it's right there. There it is. It says in the first verse, the one we did before that, that he was filled with the Spirit. Are you getting this? There's something that happened. Do you think that if Jesus wouldn't have got filled with the Spirit, he'd have went to heaven? Of course he would have went to heaven. He's the Son of God, just like anybody else. But what was God's will for him? Right there. What was God's will for Peter? What was God's will for Paul? Let me ask you this. What's God's will for anybody that is a Christian? It is. I don't care what you've been taught. I'm teaching you Bible right now. God wants you empowered so that you can make a difference. Not just go through this life and retire one day and die. That's not God's plan for you. God's got something for you to do, and it includes you being empowered to do it. You're never going to do what God wants you to do until you are empowered, have a Holy Ghost encounter, an infilling, and you continue to filled and filled and filled and filled. Because when you stop filling up that beep, you don't have long left. Starts going on. Am I getting through to anybody? Oh, Lord, this thing hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh. Do you want to be spiritual? Do you really want to be spiritual? Let's quit chasing all this other crap and let's just start chasing after the Spirit of God. That's what we need to be chasing after. If you're chasing after something, that means you're being led by it, right? We want to be led by the Spirit, so let's chase after the things of the Spirit. Let's chase after the Holy Spirit. If we can do that, that means we're going to be led by the Spirit. Get the praise team up here. Let's do a worship song real quick. And I'll tell you what. We don't have to look at the stars for them to be perfectly aligned. Are you following me? Holy Spirit. All you got to do is come down here. That's all you got to do. If stand to your feet. If you've had a God experience, and you know it's just not.